Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. He is supremely mighty, he who is supremely praised, he who is supremely great. May he bless this bridegroom and bride. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shakol bara lichvodo. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam yotzer adam. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Asher yatzar et Adam betzalmo betzelem dimut avnito vihitkin lo mimenu binyan adei ahad. Baruch atah Adonai yotzer Adam. Sos tasis v'tagel hakara v'kivut paneha letocha besimcha. Baruch atah Adonai, mesameach Zion bevanecha. Sameach tesameach re'im ahovim, kesamechecha yetzirecha began Eden mikeden. Baruch atah Adonai, Mesameach atan v'kala. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Asher bara soson v'simcha, Chatan v'kala gilarina. Titza v'chedva, Ahava v'achava, V'shalom reut. Mehera Adonai Eloheinu, Yishama v'yarei Yehudah, U'v'chutzot Yerushalayim. Kol sason v'kol simcha, Kol chatan v'kol kala, Kol nitzalot chatanim mechupatam, U'ne'arim mishaten ginatam. Baruch atah Adonai, Mesameach atanim hakahala. Amen.
Everyone may be seated. We call now for the reading of the Ketubah. The Ketubah is an instrument of contract. Historically, there was a betrothal. And the betrothal was an agreement that the husband-to-be was to take what amounts to a contract, to be the husband to a wife, and to promise all sorts of conditions upon which he would fulfill that at a later date. Some of us may recall in the scriptures a very famous personage, Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, and the scripture speaks about how she was betrothed to Joseph as just an example of the occurrence of the betrothal coming before the marriage. But what happened in the Middle Ages, when our people were threatened by persecution, it came to pass that betrothals very often did not consummate in the marriage because of the persecutions of people having to flee, separations that occurred between the two betrothed, the people not knowing whether each was alive and not knowing whether they were free to remarry. And so therefore the rabbis decided to condense in the modern marriages, starting with the Middle Ages, they decided to condense the marriage and to have the betrothal and the chuppah, which is the final wedding, at the same time. And we today are doing that, and so the first part of the wedding is the betrothal part of the wedding. And what we're going to be doing now is taking an ancient idea, which is a ketubah, and we're going to be reading some language of agreement between the bride and the bridegroom on the ketubah, and then we're going to be supplementing that with scriptures which also will have the essence of agreement between the bride and the bridegroom. On the last day of the week, the 15th day of the month of Av, in the year 5748, corresponding to July 30th, 1988, the Holy Covenant of Marriage was entered into at Toronto, Canada, between the bridegroom, David Rudolph, and his bride, Harumi Kondo. The bridegroom made the following declaration to his bride. Be my wife according to the laws of Moses and Israel. I faithfully promise that I will be a true husband unto you. I will honor and cherish you. I will protect and support you, and will provide all that is necessary for your sustenance in accordance with the usual custom of Jewish husbands. I also take upon myself all such further obligations for your maintenance as are prescribed by our religious statutes.
and the said bride has entered into this holy covenant with affection and sincerity, and has taken upon herself the fulfillment of all the duties incumbent upon a Jewish wife. This covenant of marriage was duly executed and witnessed this day according to the usage of Israel.
Amen.
I'd like to ask you, David, do you agree to the terms of this covenant contract?
Yes, I do.
Louder?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Arumi, do you agree to the terms of this covenant contract?
Yes, I do.
Thank you very much. And now the witnesses will sign this ketubah. Brian, will you sign it? Sure. And now we will read from the scriptures. Brian, if you could hand me the Bible. And David and Harumi, first I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9, which speaks about loving God. I'm going to read these scriptures to you, and I'm going to ask you whether you agree to incorporate the meaning of this scripture within the context of your marriage, your relationship with Harumi, and your relationship to God. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. David, do you agree to this?
Yes, I do.
Harumi, do you agree to this?
Yes, I do.
Now we turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 13. Paul is speaking these words. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Do you understand what I've just read to you?
Yes, I do.
Do you agree to incorporate this kind of love in your marriage?
Yes, I do.
Harumi?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. We turn now to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. David, this is directed at you. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The Word of God, David, calls men to be providers of their wives and of their families. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
Do you agree to undertake the responsibility of provision with your eyes on God for that provision? For your wife?
Yes, I do.
Turn now to Proverbs 22:6. This is for both of you. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Word of God, David and Harumi, says that we are to train up our children. And with the Lord's blessing, you will have children to train up. And it says that if we train them up, they will not depart from it. There may be ups and downs, there may be trials, but we stand in faith that if our children are trained properly, that they will come to know God, that they will be a blessing to God, that they will be a blessing to their family, and that they will carry on the true traditions of our people, which is the tradition of godliness. Do you understand the necessity of training up your children in the Lord?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Harumi?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 to 5.
The husband render to his wife the affection due her, likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Do you understand, David and Harumi, that in the marriage covenant, that you belong to each other and both of you belong to God? Do you understand the meaning of these scriptures?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you understand that this scripture speaks not only of spiritual things, but also things of the body? Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
We turn now to our last scripture, Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of his wife, as also Messiah is head of his body of believers. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the body of believers is subject to Messiah, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Messiah also loved his body and gave himself for it. God sent Messiah for all of us. And one of the things that he did was he gave himself for all of us. Do you understand, David, that what is called for here is a sacrificial love, a love of the same sacrificial nature that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should have eternal life and also blessings abounding during this life? Do you understand that that is the kind of love? It's sacrificial love. It's God places you at the head of the family not to be a dictator, not to be a person who uses his wife for his own self-serving ends, but rather a husband that gives himself sacrificially to his wife. Do you understand this?
Yes, I do.
Are you prepared to sacrifice in love for your wife? Continuing, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious body of believers, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives and their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does his body of believers. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the Messiah and his body. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This leaving and cleaving, the leaving of one's father and mother and cleaving to the wife, goes for the woman as well, leaving father and mother and cleaving to her husband. Because God does a very special thing. He takes two people and he makes one out of those two people. The two are united and become one flesh. In the eyes of God, you will always be individuals on one level. But from this point on, you will also be looked at as the David Rudolph family. And God will look at your family, bless your family, and will also judge your family as a family. Do you understand the nature of this corporate oneness?
Yes, I do.
Are you agreeable to cleaving to your wife?
Yes, I am.
And are you agreeable to cleaving to your husband?
Yes.
Well, since you both have been agreeable, I will ask you now to memorialize your agreement by signing the flyleaf of this Bible from which these scriptures have been read. Do you, of your own free will and consent, take Harumi to be your wife? And do you promise to love, honor, and cherish her throughout life?
Yes, I do.
Do you, of your own free will and consent, take David to be your husband? And do you promise to love, honor, and cherish him throughout life?
Yes, I do.
David, you will now betroth the bride in the presence of these witnesses by placing a ring, which is being handed to you, upon the third finger of Harumi's left hand. And say to her after me, Hare At Mikudeshet.
Hare At
Mikudesha, Li, Vitaba'at, Zu, Kedat, Moshe, V'Yisrael, V'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Behold, thou art betrothed to me. With this ring, in accordance with the law of Moses and Israel.
In accordance with the law of Moses and Israel.
In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Harumi, you will now accept the covenant of betrothal offered to you by David in the presence of these witnesses by placing the ring being handed to you upon the third finger of his hand. And say after me, Harumi,
behold,
I am betrothed to you with this ring.
In accordance with the law of Moses,
and Israel,
and Israel,
in the name of Yeshua the Messiah.
In the name of Yeshua Messiah.
Thank you. Now, David and Harumi, face me, please, and you will now partake of the Lord's Supper together with the cantor and myself. And Brian, if you would serve the elements of the Lord's Supper to us, let me explain the significance of this. There was a Passover time when Messiah Yeshua was sitting with his disciples, and he knew what was in store for him. He was about to sacrifice himself for the benefit of you two and for the benefit of all of us. And the fact is that he was looking forward to a time when he would return for his bride, the entire body of believers. Now you, David, standing with your bride, have your bride with you at this time. But Yeshua still does not have his bride. And so he established something for us to do to remember him until the time that his bride will be united with him. And so he turned to his disciples and he picked up some unleavened bread since it was Passover. And he said to his disciples, look at this bread. I will now bless it. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech ha'olam Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. He turns to his disciples and he said, now, this bread is my body broken for you. I can't imagine what his disciples must have thought when he did that, because they were not fully prepared to understand the extent of what was about to happen. But eventually he said that we should all do this in remembrance of him. And so now I will hand the cantor, and I will hand to you, Gianna, and to you, Brian, and to you, David, and to you, Harumi, a piece of the matzah. And I ask us all, and as I take a piece of the matzah, that we eat of this matzah, remembering our Messiah, who died for us. Yeshua didn't stop there. He picked up a cup. The scripture says the cup, and there's only one cup that could be the cup. It's Elijah's cup. The scriptures say that Elijah was to come to herald the coming of the Messiah. Well, the Messiah was there, so there was no need for Elijah's cup. So he picked it up, and he used it for another purpose. He blessed the wine that was in the cup this way. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri HaGofen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives us the fruit of this vine. And then he said something very special to his disciples. He said, this wine in this cup is my blood of the new covenant, blood which is shed for you for the remission of sin. And he said to drink of it in remembrance of him. We do this in remembrance of him now. And how the disciples still must have been astonished, but they did drink of this cup. And we do take this often, and we will now take this cup together. Harumi, you have expressed your desire and intention not only to marry David, who is an Israelite, but also to join the nation of Israel covenantally as a Messianic proselyte. Messianic proselyte to Israel. Such a step is also a marriage of sort, in that it is a covenant undertaking which is irreversible, and your destiny will be linked to the people of Israel forever. It is a serious step not to be taken lightly, for you are proclaiming to God, Israel, and the world that you are joining yourself to Israel physically as well as spiritually, and that this connection and commitment is independent of your salvation, independent of your marriage to David, and will last your whole life. Harumi, you are a believer in Yeshua,
and are therefore already grafted into and the recipient of all the benefits of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham. If you join Israel as a messianic proselyte, you will be taking upon yourself all of the obligations of the covenant as well. Do you understand this?
Yes, I do.
Becoming a messianic proselyte to Israel is not necessary in order to marry David. Do you believe that you are called by God to join yourself to Israel in this way?
Yes, I do.
Long ago, a Moabitess named Ruth, a woman honored to have a book of the Bible named after her, and who is in the physical lineage of Yeshua, offered herself covenantally to Israel with these words, "Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people." Sometime later, Israel responded in the affirmative by permitting her marriage to an Israelite named Boaz. Harumi, you have already received the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through your acceptance of and faith in Yeshua. Are you now also offering yourself covenantally to Israel in the example of Ruth? David, your God is my God.
David, your God is my God.
And your people will be my people.
And your people will be my people.
Do you believe that God has genuinely called Harumi not only, but also to be a messianic proselyte to Israel?
Yes, I do.
Then, David, repeat this after me. Harumi, standing as a representative of Israel,
standing as a representative of Israel,
and as your husband to be,
and as your husband to be,
I accept you into the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
I accept you into the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
As a messianic proselyte to Israel.
As a messianic proselyte to Israel.
And let my marriage to you today.
And let my marriage to you today.
Be the sealing of this covenant on the part of Israel.
Be the sealing of this covenant on the part of Israel.
May you from this day forward.
May you from this day forward.
Be known in Israel.
Be known in Israel.
As Hadassah Bat Zion.
As Hadassah Bat Zion.
Esther, daughter of Zion.
Esther, daughter of Zion.
Let's face forward. Praise be the Lord our God, King of the universe, who sent us Yeshua, our Messiah. Praise be the Lord our God, King of the universe, who created all things to his glory. Praise be the Lord our God, King of the universe, who has created man. Praise be the Lord God, King of the universe, who has made man in his image, after his likeness and after himself, who prepared from man a perpetual fabric. Praise be the Lord God, who has created man. May the nation who is childless be glad and rejoice when its children are gathered back in joy. Praise be the Lord who gladdens Zion in her children. May you gladden these beloved ones as you gladdened thy creatures in the Garden of Eden in time of yore. Praise be the Lord who gladdens the bridegroom and bride. Praise be the Lord God, King of the universe, who has created joy and gladness. Joy and gladness, bridegroom and bride. Who has created joy and gladness. Joy and gladness, bridegroom and bride. Rejoicing, song and delight, love and brotherhood and peace. Rejoicing, song and delight, peace and fellowship. So may there be heard in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem,
The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, voice of the bridegroom, voice of the bride. The jubilant voice of bridegrooms in their nuptial canopies, and of youths from their feast of song. Praise be the Lord, who gladdens the bridegroom and the bride.
Amen. And I'm holding a glass in my hand. And the tradition is that the man steps on a glass at his marriage. There are many traditions that have come from our people. And this is a tradition that's a very peculiar one, stepping on a glass. As is in many traditions, you get many answers when one asks where this came from and what it means. Let me suggest some very good explanations for this tradition. One thing, David, is that a glass is an object that is in its entirety one piece, capable of being broken, but right now in its unbroken condition. David, when this glass is broken, this glass and the millions of fragments that result from it can never be pieced back together into its original form. David, likewise, as you are marrying Harumi, you and Harumi can never go back to be the glass that is unbroken. That you are one flesh now, and there is no turning back. It's like this glass that cannot go back to its original form. And when you step on that, you are saying, yes, I know that, and I am willing. It's also a symbol of decision, that when you step on this glass, you are saying, this is a time of decision, and I purposefully step on this glass to commemorate this event. David, would you cloak your tallit over your bride with you? Share your tallit. He who blessed our ancestors blessed the bridegroom and bride, and henceforth prosper their ways upon which they walk. May they always find grace and favor in the eyes of those who meet them. May they aspire to build a praiseworthy house among God's people. May peace reign in their home and make it contentment and happiness be in their hearts all the days of their lives. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Messiah, the Prince of Peace.
Yisa Adonai Kanavilecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom V'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar Shalom. Amen.
Amen. David, you may now kiss your bride. It is now my pleasure to present to you Mr. and Mrs. David Riddell. Hallelujah, Jerusalem.
Oh, we have to. daughter.
I would like to say thank you to everyone here. Hermie and I, when we came to Canada, we had our family, and we had our family. It is one of the most touching things to know that at one, I guess, the most important time in my life, I can come to another part of the world, and my brothers and my sisters welcome me as a brother, and honor me as a sister, and as a member of this family. And we are just thankful beyond anything that we could possibly say. And I praise God that we have such a family.
All right, praise the Lord.
Bride is going to speak.
Thank you very much for all your preparation and prayers. And I dreamed about my wedding day. I just want to praise the Lord who sent us such a wonderful family of in-laws. Thank you very much.
I'm going to say the blessing over the challah. I'm thinking of the kitchen, and we'll cut it up. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Motzi Lecha Min Haaretz, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
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 Oh, my nice new ring. It's pretty
expensive.
Well, does anyone have a suggestion as to what we do now?
I'm not too bad.
All right, that's it for me. I do not like taking pictures of people.
Where are you going? You know?
You probably want lots of pictures, so please. These are Canadian bigs.
Take your big I cut that. That's my own.
Do you want anything in it?
No.
Just plain?
Okay.
Let me take a look tonight and I'll
Would you like some apple pie?
Very peaceful. peaceful and happy. That's all I felt. I thought I was going to be happy.
Juice, anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. You're my sister now.
Yeah!
Oh,
you want some juice?
You don't put tea and coffee in the
we're going to go around and meet people.
Such a nice people.
Oh.
Any other type of thing you might want so I can get you more food?
My doctor has to wait. I'm already at 18 years old. So I don't know what's happening.
That's going down. Put in the mailbox. Put in John's mailbox. It's on the front of the house.
Yeah.
it's a rectangular square box. Okay. I'll leave
it there. No, this one, I wrote the words.
Okay.
Yeah. No Yom Kippur, no Hanukkah, no candy coated Palatina lockers, no kosher food that is so good. I just call to say, I love you.
Thank you.
I've known you, I've never seen anybody kiss so much from you. There you go.
He was saving it.
I need you need anything? Fruit. Cheese.
Another song.
Right. You know, yeah. 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 Yeah.
faces look so familiar.
Is this the little girl I have? Is this the little boy?
Thank you.